Our scripture this evening comes from the book of Matthew, Matthew 11. We're going to be reading verses 25 through 30. And we're going to be focusing especially on verses 28 through 30, where Jesus invites us to come to him for rest, for true rest. Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 25, this is the word of the Lord. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And that's God's word for us this evening. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I think it's safe to say that this world is full of unrest. In fact, that might be an understatement. When you think of the unrest all throughout the Middle East, civil unrest in Syria and in Egypt, and even unrest here in our own country, political unrest in Washington, D.C., the mass killings that have occurred, Newtown, Connecticut, Aurora, Colorado, and others throughout the past several years. And you might even talk in terms of climate unrest and some of the severe weather conditions that have happened over the past several years. Just recently, of course, Hurricane Sandy and the damage that that has done and the unrest that that has caused in people's lives. And because of this unrest, people carry a lot of burdens, maybe more so than people have had in the past. And people are carrying burdens like financial burdens and maybe relationships, broken relationships, illnesses that they are going through, death. There's all different types of burdens that people carry, including the burden of sin. Maybe a burden that we don't often look at or consider as much of a burden as some of the other ones that we have, but that certainly is a burden as well. And where do people go to find rest in the midst of the burdens that they carry? Well, people go to drugs, people go to alcohol, people go to sex, pornography, they go to pleasure, they go to surrounding themselves with things, they go to false religions. But people can't find rest in those things. In fact, we hear people say things like, "Stop the world, I want to get off. You know, it's just going too fast." Or we hear people say, "There's no rest for the weary." I heard that statement just yesterday on the radio as I was driving around. In our scripture this evening, Jesus invites us to come to him for rest, for true rest for our souls. And as we look at these three verses, 28, 29, and 30, I think there's three things that Jesus talks about here. First of all, there's Jesus' invitation. Second, there's Jesus' promise. And third, there's Jesus' offer. And let's look at those three parts of these verses this evening. First of all, we see Jesus' invitation. Jesus says here, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." Now, first thing we notice is that there's a command to come. And so when we read that, we see that there is a decision that we have to make. There's an action that we have to take. Jesus says to come. And so if we want rest, we've got to do something. We can't just sit around. It's a lot like when mom or dad call you for dinner. And maybe you're in the family room, you're in your bedroom, you're outside, wherever you might be, and and mom or dad calls, come for supper. And you've got to come. You've got to go to the dining room or the kitchen, or you're not going to get supper. You've got to act. You've got to do something. And the same is true here. Jesus says, come. And he says, come unto me. And I think there's two things here that we need to do. First of all, to come to Jesus, we need to believe in Jesus. We need to take him as our Savior. We need to trust in him. And then even when we have taken Jesus as our Savior, we need to come to him again and again through prayer, through Bible reading and study, and through worship like we do from week to week. We need to come unto Jesus in those different ways. And who does Jesus call to come to him? He says, all you who are weary and burdened. Some other translations are, all you who labor and are heavy laden, all you who are toiling and have become burdened. And in Aramaic, actually, it says, come unto me, all who are tired and carrying burdens. I like the one that says, you who are toiling and have become burdened. In other words, you've been working on your own. You've been trying and trying to handle this burden, to maybe get rid of it, to deal with it. And you're just toiling. You're working so hard that it's just become such a burden to you. You can't deal with it anymore. You say, I give up. I can't carry this load anymore. When you hear that, when you hear Jesus say, come unto me, all you who labor and are burdened. Is Jesus speaking to you? I would dare say that every one of us here is carrying some type of a burden. Maybe it's not a burden that you've shared with anyone here. Maybe you've only shared it with God. But I would dare say that everyone here is carrying some type of a burden. When we greet each other, we might ask, how are you doing? And we respond, I'm doing fine. How are you? And we have a smile on our face. But just because we say that and we have a smile on our face doesn't mean that we're not carrying some type of a burden in our lives. And one of those burdens can be sin. As I said before, I think sometimes that we when we talk about burdens, we think of illness, we think of maybe a wayward son or daughter or spouse or we think of something like that, something that we can picture, something that we're going through. And we might not necessarily think of sin as a burden, but sin certainly can be a burden. And even though we've been saved and we trust Jesus, we've taken him as our Savior, sometimes sin can still cling to us. And maybe it's a burden, that's something that we try and try to get rid of. We try to do better and we just keep on failing and falling and stumbling, and it just becomes a burden to us. In Psalm 38, verse 4, the psalmist writes, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. You know, the Israelites, you might say, were slaves to sin. And the rabbis or the religious leaders, what they would do is they would take the Ten Commandments and then they would add to them. And so let's say the fourth commandment, which is remember the Sabbath day, what they would do is they would say, okay, if that's the core commandment, let's add some things to it to help people to be able to meet that commandment, be able to be obedient to it. And so they would say something like, well, you know, if you want to remember the Sabbath, you can't walk more than 2 miles on a Sabbath. Or maybe you can't lift something that's over a certain weight. And it was called fencing the law. They would basically put a fence around the law, so to speak, so that you wouldn't get to that core commandment and so that you would be able to be obedient. But what they were really doing is they were just making it harder and harder and harder for the Israelites, for the people of God, to be obedient. That they were just so frustrated because, well, no matter where they turn, it seemed like they were violating something that the Pharisees or the rabbis were putting on them. In fact, in Luke chapter 11, verse 46, Jesus says, and you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry. Did you ever think that maybe our sins are a burden to God? You know, they certainly can be a burden to us, but did you realize that they can be a burden to God? In Isaiah 43, verse 24, God says, "You have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offenses." When we think of the burdens that we carry, think of sin as a burden as well. Certainly Jesus has taken that burden away, but there still can be sin that clings to us. And Jesus says here, he invites us to come to him. If we want rest, he says, come to me. If you are in that category of people who has a burden that you are carrying, Jesus invites you and I to come to him this evening. It reminds me of that poster that there used to be of Uncle Sam when they were looking for people to join the military. Uncle Sam wants you. If you're in this category, Jesus wants you this evening. He invites you to come to him. Well, then we read that Jesus makes a promise to us. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus says, "I will give you rest." Not drugs, not alcohol, not pornography, not leisure, not pleasure. None of those things will really give you rest. You can only find true rest in me. Listen to these verses from Scripture that talk about that. Psalm 23 says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul." In other words, he gives me rest. Psalm 62, verse 1, "My soul finds rest in God alone." And in verse 5, he talks to his soul saying, "Find rest, my soul, in God alone." And Psalm 91 says, "I will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." And in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, we read, "Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." You see, God and God alone can provide us with true rest. None of these other things can give us true rest. They may be fleeting, but they're not lasting. And only God can give us rest. And Jesus says, "I will give you rest." It's a promise. He doesn't say, "I can give you rest if you come to me." He says, "I will do it." And the Bible tells us that all of God's promises, you can count on them. You can trust them. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, we read that all God's promises are yes in Jesus Christ. And in Romans 8, Paul says that if God kept his promise to die for us, how will he not keep all the other promises that he's made in his word? You can count on it. When Jesus says, "Come to me, I will give you rest," he will give you rest. You can trust him. And notice that it's a gift. He says, "I will give you rest." There's no strings attached. It's not like some of these things that we see today where they're advertised as being free, but then when you read the small print, you realize that there's something that you owe in order to get that. There's nothing like that here. It's free, and it's free because Jesus paid the price. There's no way that we can pay the price, any of it. It's all paid for. As a result, Jesus says, "I will give you rest." And then he says, "I will give you rest." Rest from your burdens. Notice that Jesus doesn't say, "I will take away your burdens." He doesn't say that. He says, "I will give you rest. Even in spite of the burdens that you carry, I will give you rest." Did you ever think of a burden as being a plus, as being a positive, as being helpful to you? You know, a lot of the heroes of faith in the Bible went through wilderness experiences. They had burdens. Moses dwelt in the desert, and of course he carried that burden of killing an Egyptian. David spent time running away from Saul, and he was carrying that burden of killing Uriah. And Jesus, of course, spent time in the wilderness and he carried the burden of all of our sins. I came across a story in one of the devotional books that I've read, and it tells about how a burden can be good for us. It goes like this. Dr. Lambie, that greatly blessed medical missionary to Abyssinia, once told of a valuable lesson he learned from the natives. Lacking bridges, they were often compelled to wade across swollen streams to reach their destination. The current was swift, and there was constant danger of being swept off their feet into deeper water or among treacherous rocks. The weight of the human body being only slightly heavier than water, it was difficult to maintain a foothold when waist-deep in the stream. The natives, therefore, solved the problem by slinging a sack of stones over their shoulder for extra ballast to weigh them down so their feet would not slip. When they reached the other side, they emptied the sack on the bank. So, too, the Lord places upon us burdens which seem to weigh us down, but in reality keep us from slipping and falling. So trust him and believe that he lays no burden upon you heavier than is necessary to keep you safe. And then he gives this little statement. He says, to give us spiritual traction, God often keeps us down so that he may keep us up. Do you ever think of burdens that way? That God gives us burdens so that we don't get swept away by the temptations in our lives. Because certainly there's a lot of them, and we can easily get swept away. But God gives us these burdens and nothing more than we can bear so that we will be able to stand firm. Jesus invites us to come to him. And if we come to him, he promises that he will give us rest. Our part is to come. His part is to give us rest. And finally, we read about Jesus' offer. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I don't know about you, but this sounds like a contradiction. On one hand, Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. Now, a yoke to me sounds like another load, another burden, something I don't need. I don't need another burden to carry. And to the Israelites, to the people of those days, a yoke would refer to work. It would refer to slavery. It would refer to pain. And it would also refer to oppression. In fact, in Leviticus 26, verse 13, God says to the Israelites, I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. He was talking there about the yoke of slavery to the Egyptians. And so when the people heard Jesus say this, their first thought must have been, wait a minute, Jesus, you promised us rest and now you want us to work like a beast? What do you mean by this? Well, let's look at this word yoke a minute and see what it means and how it is a benefit for us. A yoke is a wooden bar. We don't see yokes around here anymore. You probably see them in developing countries, but a yoke is a wooden bar or a frame that would be fitted over two animals, like two oxen or two horses, to help them work together so that they could pull a load or plow a field. And so when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, he's saying, be connected to me, that my yoke will go over me and go over you, and you'll be joined with me, so that, in essence, I will help you plow the field of life together, that we will do that together. So we become joined with him, and when we become joined with Jesus, it means that we follow him, that we do what he does, that we accept his will for our lives. But it's even more than that. Back in Jeremiah 28, we read about the curses upon some of the people of that day. And God talks about a yoke as being a representation of dominance and control. Jeremiah 28, verses 12 through 14. We read, shortly after the prophet Hananiah had broken the yoke off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Go and tell Hananiah, this is what the Lord says. You have broken a wooden yoke, but in its place you will get a yoke of iron. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will put an iron yoke on the necks of all these nations to make them serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they will serve him. I will even give him control over the wild animals. So a yoke also meant dominance and control. And when we take on the yoke of Jesus, it means that we are obedient to him, that he takes control of our lives, that we submit to him, to his authority. Now, you may be thinking, well, OK, that sounds good to be yoked to Jesus, to be joined to Jesus. But it still sounds a little bit, you know, I've got to submit to his authority. It still doesn't sound that great. Well, let's go on and see what Jesus says here. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, what does he mean by that? How can we learn from him by taking his yoke upon us? Now, in those days, what they would do is they would team up an older, wiser, you might say, and stronger animal with a younger, weaker animal. And the stronger one then would help the younger one, the weaker one, to do the job. They would take the load. They would tell them or kind of teach them how to go. And so the younger one would learn from the older one. And what Jesus is saying here is that when you take my yoke upon you, that we can learn from Jesus. Jesus will show us how to walk in this life. Jesus will show us where to go. Jesus will teach us how to go through this life. We essentially yield our lives to him, and then he helps us in going through this life. And Jesus goes on to say, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Now, why does Jesus say that? What does that mean with all this? Well, Jesus here was comparing himself to the Pharisees and the religious leaders. You see, they were arrogant. They really didn't have the best in mind for the people there. They've just loaded them with command after command after command. And as a result, they really weren't looking out for the people. And Jesus says, I am humble. Jesus says, I'm not a taskmaster like they are, that I only have your good in mind. And so he says, take my yoke upon, learn from me. I'm gentle. I'm humble in heart. And then Jesus finishes this up, this offer, by saying that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, again, Jesus is comparing himself to the rabbis of that day. You see, they would add to the law, and they would add and add and add. And as I said before, it just became such a burden that no matter where people walked, no matter where they turned, they were violating the law. And this just was impossible. It must have been frustrating. And the burden must have been great to try and be obedient to the law. In fact, Jesus says, we read before from Luke 11, verse 46, when Jesus says, woe to you experts in the law. Woe to you because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry. And then he goes on to say, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help. The burden was heavy and they didn't do a thing to help the people. Actually, what Jesus is saying when he's saying being yoked to me, saying, I'll share your burden with you. And actually, it's even better than that. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. That word easy could be translated good, kind, perfect. And I think a really good word for it that it can be translated is well fitted. In other words, Jesus is saying that the yoke that I have for you is just perfect for you. It fits perfectly. Have you ever bought something, maybe shoes, and You get home, you know, you put them on in the store and you think, okay, yeah, they feel good, they fit. You get home and you start walking them, and you say, wow, you know, they hurt, you know, I'm going to bring them back. Or maybe sometimes you buy something and you put it on at home and you start wearing it and, wow, this fits great. It fits like a glove. I can't even feel it on me. Jesus is saying the yoke that he has for you and for you and for you is a customized yoke. It's a yoke that is easy because it's a perfect fit. And it's a yoke of love. And I think what Jesus was talking about a bit here is that, you know, when God gave the Ten Commandments, and it's a number of things that says, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And then the rabbis come and they add to it, and don't do this, and don't do this, and don't do this. And yet, the intent of the law was not that you don't do these things. The intent of the law is that we love. Just as we read from 1 John earlier. In fact, in Deuteronomy 5, right after that, the law is given in Deuteronomy 5. And in Deuteronomy 6, Moses says, makes that summary statement that Jesus then summarizes later and says that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And later in the Old Testament, it also says that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. You see, the intent of the law is to love. And when you look at the law as loving others, it's easy to love. And if you love, you will automatically not do all these other things. And so Jesus says, my yoke is easy because it's a yoke of love. And then he says, my yoke is light. I've got two illustrations to demonstrate what Jesus means by this. First is a story. Story of a man who once met a boy carrying a smaller crippled lad on his back. That's a heavy load you are carrying there, exclaimed the man. He ain't heavy, he's my brother, responded the boy. No burden is too heavy when it's given in love and carried in love. Jesus helps us to carry our burdens. And he says, my yoke is one of love. And when we do it that way, when there's a burden maybe in our lives, maybe we're taking care of a sickly child. Maybe we're taking care of older parents. Maybe we are helping someone in need. And that can be a burden at times. But when we do it in love, it's not a burden. It's a joy. And then I have something here, and I have a couple of strong men, the Hanko brothers, I think, who are going to help me. I've got a pole here. I've got a bucket full of golf balls. And just feel that for me, will you? Kind of heavy? Yeah? Okay. Somewhat heavy, right? Now, if I asked you to carry that from here to, let's say, down to Kohl's, down on Route 23, be pretty far. Probably by the time you get there, it would probably feel really heavy, right? Well, let me try and take that weight off you, okay? Let me put this pole in between and carry you. Now, put it right in the middle. Now, does that feel a little bit lighter, right? Not as heavy as you carry it by yourself, right? Okay, let's say your name is?
Josiah.
Josiah? Jared. Josiah, let's say that you represent Jesus here, okay? Now, if we're trying to carry our burdens on our own, I'm going to slide this over by Jared, okay? Now, that gets to be pretty heavy, right? It's almost as heavy as if you're carrying it by yourself, right?
Yep.
Now, if we come to Jesus and we let Jesus carry our load, how does that feel now? Pretty light, huh? Pretty easy, right? Well, that's what Jesus says. When Jesus says, my burden or my yoke is easy, my burden is light, it means that he's doing all the heavy lifting. It means that when we come to him, that he's the one that carries that load, and it makes the load on us really easy. Thanks, guys, for coming up. So Jesus says, my burden or my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And the reason for that is because in Isaiah 53 we read that he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Or another way is, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Jesus took upon himself that great burden of sin. And as a result, he helps us with all the different burdens that we might face in our lives. What about you and I this evening? Are you carrying some type of a burden? Maybe you're anxious about something. Maybe you're going through an illness. Maybe you're grieving. Maybe there's some financial concerns that you have. Every one of us is probably going through some type of a hard time and carrying some type of a burden in our lives. And the question, too, is, how are you carrying that burden? Are you trying to do it on your own strength? And maybe, sure, you are yoked with Jesus, you believe in Jesus, but maybe you're working against him. Maybe you're yoked to Jesus and Jesus is trying to bring you in this direction and you're working against him and going in another direction and you're getting frustrated. And that burden is getting heavier and heavier and it's all on your side. Jesus says tonight, come to me. Come to me and I will give you rest. Psalm 55, verse 22, we read, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. And in Psalm 68, verse 19, we read, praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. It doesn't matter what the burden is. You may think it's just a little thing and that Jesus doesn't really get involved in that. But no matter what the burden is, and every day we can bring those burdens to God, as we'll sing in a few minutes, we often forfeit peace and rest because we fail to bring our burdens to God. He's waiting. He says, come. Come unto me. Someone has said, for when the heart yields, Christ is Lord. And when Christ is Lord, there's rest. Do you want to find rest? Rest for your soul? Then take Jesus' invitation tonight and come to him and find rest. True rest. Rest for your soul. And in fact, eternal rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these words of Jesus. For we all struggle at times in our lives and we're always carrying some type of a burden, whether it's anxiety or loneliness or an illness or whatever it might be. Lord, we thank you that you invite us to come to you for true rest. Help us to do that. Help us to come to you. Help us to be yoked to you. And help us to trust in you, knowing that your promise to give us rest is true, that we can count on it. We thank you for your invitation and your offer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.